Blog Talk Radio.
You're going to be all right, though, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
You know how it is when we living down and dirty down here. You know how we do it. So, you know.
Yeah, we're going to do it anyway.
But we got, you know, it got, the week was hard, but it got better as it, you know,
yeah.
as it progressed. Particularly,
yeah.
you know.
And there were bright spots. We had our bright spots. I mean, we had Bernie on Rachel Maddow and on
right.
the Colbert Show.
Yes.
And
yeah,
it
started getting better toward the end of the week.
So on that front, we're good. You know, still kind of ugly here in the South, but that's.
Yeah,
I mean, we didn't get the tag dirty South for nothing.
You know, but since we're talking about that. You know, people, today's show, we're going to give out a quick synopsis of what today's show is going to be about, and then we're going to bring into some new segments, a new segment that we fixing to start doing here. But today's show is going to be on voting rights and it being a great equalizer. Y'all know that if you're listening to the mainstream media, you hear everybody talking about how well candidates fundraise, and I hate to say it, but we fall into this pattern. It's like, ooh, so-and-so done raised $3 million. And, or they got $10 million in their war chest, and everybody kind of falls into that, well, they're going to win. That's who I'm going to be with. Kind of like this is football. It's like we done looked at the college rankings for the month, for the week. It's like, oh, so-and-so number one. And you bandwagon on that team. This is politics. It's too important to be bandwagoning. And finally, mm-hmm. who's making the most money, this, that, and the other. And what we fail to understand sometimes as Americans, I think, is that how important of a tool or even if we are a weapon that the vote is, and that we
mm-hmm.
take our right to vote too lightly. I mean, you got to think about it. This is America where people will fight you over the right to carry a gun, which I'm not against that, but at the same time, if you're a Second Amendment person, then you should be all for the Voting Rights Act, because guess what? The Second Amendment is the last-ditch effort. America is great because we can go fight our battles in a ballot box. So, I mean, we really need to sit there and talk about how, and these same people are the same ones that let the billionaire class control them. But before we get into that, into the show, we got a brand new segment. Y'all got a taste of it last week, but as we was going through it, we figured out, you know, we might step
y'all
on.
Y'all love Bernie.
Toe. Yeah, we all
oh,
we
yeah.
love Bernie. And
we love Bernie.
You know, right? And we got a new segment. We started last week, and last week we kind of called it the Burn Notice, but we figured we might step on some people's toes and we called it that. So what we decided to call it was the Burn Treatment. Because you're feeling the burn. You need some treatment for that because, you know, if you feel the burn, you need somebody to put something on it, make it better. You know what I'm saying? We don't want it to go away. We just want the burn. We want the burn to be better, so we're going to give you some burn treatment. You know what I'm saying?
You
know, so you're feeling the burn.
We're in the
more
South.
It's more like an addiction. So we're going to serve you up. So, Stacey, you know, you're a lot more connected with the activist side of things that's going on. So kind of tell us, give us some burn treatment.
Okay. Well, you know, burn treatment, you know, we're in the South, you know, what's that word? It's a little bit of salve, because some people need some salve, and you got to say it that way, some salve, you know, kind of. Some people need to smooth on out because it's bananas out there. You've got Clinton people mad at the Sanders people mad at the Clinton people, and it's just ridiculous. But at the end of the day, it's going to be all love, but we need to kind of, like, work this out. And people need to understand it's an election. There's two phases to it. There's a primary where you got to rep your person, and then the general when you go up against, you know, your opposition, and hopefully it'll be your person. So, going on in the burn treatment for this week, Bernie Sanders, and this is part of my dirty list. He met with the CBC. You know, we keep hearing a lot about, you know, Bernie needs to meet with the black community, needs to raise his crab, yada, yada, yada. Well, he tried to do that by meeting with the CBC. Only six of them showed up. So, yeah, that happened. So, you know, we really, it's, you know, kind of difficult to say that.
Especially explain to folks what the CBC is.
That's true. I'm sorry. The Congressional Black Caucus. These are members of Congress who have gotten together and formed the Black Congress. All of Georgia's congressional members in the House of Representatives are members, so it's a little disappointing that they didn't show up. I mean, and then we're in the South. That's just rude. You know, somebody invites you to the house and, you know, you didn't even call and say you couldn't come. You know, it's just rude. So we had that happen. He also showed up at a historic black university, and there was more white people there than anything else. So, you know, it's really, really getting hard to hear Bernie needs to do this, Bernie needs to do that, and you're right, and he really has. He sat down with Black Lives Matter activists. He sat down with Campaign Zero, DeRay McKiffin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, but that's another faction of the Black Lives Matter. They've got a really strong set of policy and objectives that they want to get past, and they're speaking with politicians. That's a whole other show in itself, but he's really doing it. Bernie is really out there trying to do it when everybody else, you know, once Black Lives Matter came out with that statement that basically said they weren't going to be political, I saw everybody putting those Black Lives Matter cups and T-shirts and hats and mugs up in a drawer, and they kept it moving. But Bernie is still focused. He actually came out with a bill and supported by some of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, Justice for All bill, that is going to attack mass incarceration. And it's real, and also immigration, and it's really a strong bill. It will also help to banish the private prison system. And I quote Senator Sanders says, "We cannot fix our criminal justice system if corporations are allowed to profit from mass incarceration. Keeping human beings in jail for long periods of time must no longer be an acceptable business model in America. We have got to end the private prison racket." Take note, people. He called it a racket, and that's exactly what it is in America. Our focus should be on treating people with dignity and ensuring they have the resources to get back on their feet when they get out. Anybody who's been incarcerated, knows someone who's incarcerated, is throwing their hands up saying, hell yeah, because the hardest thing to do, you know, you're told to, put yourself back in society. Nobody wants to give you a job. You can't get any benefits. You can't do anything. You can't live in certain places, so you end up doing the same things you did usually to get back into India, which causes that circle, which feeds the beast, and it goes on and on. So big ups to Senator Sanders and the House leaders who did that. Who did that, and also on voting rights, and this ties into our show this week. He finished, you know, the NAACP did a walk from Selma to D.C. Senator Sanders joined him on the last part of the walk. And on a related note, in terms of voting rights, we had Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who announced her support for the Voting Rights Advancement Act. This is to fix what was broken in the Shelby decision. And we'll, I guess we'll talk about that later. But Bernie came out and slammed, you know, the efforts to suppress voting rights, which has happened, like, immediately after they rolled back some of the protections in the Voting Rights Act. So he's been a busy guy. He has really been a busy guy, and it's been fantastic watching him. It was really good to see him loosen up on the Colbert Report. If no one has caught that, they really should. Him speaking in front of Liberty University.
Stunning speech.
Which I mean, he went into, we like to call it the lion's den, but it really wasn't the lion's den. You know, we get so polarized by the media, and we come up with certain perceptions. Not all conservatives eat babies, people. So he went in front of Liberty University. We know some really good people who are conservatives.
Let me give a shout out to one. You know, my pastor, Dr. Lamar Hardwick at New Community Church in LaGrange, received his doctorate from Liberty University. And I promise you people, Dr. Hardwick is not a conservative. But the school has an excellent program when it comes to theology and Christian religion. Lots of African American clerics, you know, and our clergy go to that school to receive their master's in divinity and their doctorate. So, I mean, the school has, not everybody who remember this, but right has just tricked us into believing that Christianity belongs to them. Jesus was a socialist, people. So you can get mad at me all day for it, but if you read the Bible, the New Testament, a lot of the things that we see in government programs are based on Matthew 25, help not the least of them. Christ said, if you help out, if you go through Matthew 25 and you read that list of people, these are some of the same people that you hear people like Bernie Sanders talking about on a regular basis. And he said, if you do for these people, it's like doing for him. So I don't understand sometimes how conservatives get they mix up when it comes to that. But the wonderful thing I liked about him being at Liberty was the fact that in our polarized political climate, we as progressives sometimes do not like going into places where we know we will be challenged. But I'm going to tell you from all experiences I've had, when a progressive who has kahunas, who has...
I have chesticles, okay?
You know, you go up in there and you stay on your ground and talk about what you believe in front of conservatives, they will respectfully listen. They will ask questions. As long as you don't, you know, we start doing all the one-line shooting, you know, missions that we do when we go in, you know, yeah, they gonna return fire. But if you come in there with the intent on actually talking about issues, talking about policy, and listening to that question and answer that questions genuinely, it's not that bad. And that's what we've seen from, you know, Senator Sanders, when he went to Liberty, is that he answered the questions genuinely from his position. He didn't tone it back. For all intents and purposes, people, if you've been watching, you know, Hillary Clinton, she is known for this. She is known for playing chameleon. If we had sat out in front of Liberty University, she would have been very vague and dodged certain questions that Senator Sanders did not dodge nor equivocate on.
You're bashing Hillary. You're bashing. I'm so tired of hearing that. Every time he mentioned the name, you're bashing her. It's true.
True. You know this. It's just like her being on Ellen doing the nae nae. Everybody wants to do the nae nae now.
Something
the new black folk dance that everybody don't know. That's the new black folk dance. Like for the last 3 years, white people don't call on to it now. You know, and so it was a cute, entertaining moment, but that doesn't mean anything, right?
But it was a cute little incident. It was entertainment, and that's all it should be viewed as.
Klansmen do entertainment in blackface. That don't mean nothing to me. Because you can do nothing. You know, it don't mean nothing to me.
But Klansmen,
I'm just telling the truth. The truth will set you free. You know, people talk about race baiting and stuff of that nature. That's what that felt like to me. Is you almost dance you just like Bill playing the saxophone. I'm sorry, don't do it for me.
But you know what? It worked.
Yeah, but see, that's confess because it was Bill. It was Bill. And Bill is not Hill, and Hill is not Bill. But going back to my boy, you know, going back to Bernie, it was a really great moment. There's a story on Counterpunch, and I think I did share it on the Down South and Dirty Facebook page. But there was a story on
about Bernie finding his mojo.
I mean, so you can go there and read about how Bernie hit certain key demographics in this particular speech. And we go back and we talk about the media not paying Bernie any attention. But that goes back to another thing that we talked about. You know, most people don't support Bernie because they don't know Bernie. But when you tell them about Bernie and they find out who Bernie is, they fall in love with Bernie. They feel the burn. So everybody, that's our big thing to do with Bernie supporters is go out there and talk about Bernie. If you got a smartphone or whatever on you, when you go talk about Bernie and somebody asks you, well, who is Bernie Sanders, keep some videos, YouTube videos in your queue that you can just pull up and be like, this is Bernie. Something short, because, you know, most people ain't got all day to watch the whole Liberty University speech. But if you got a nice little excerpt that's about a minute to 2 minutes long, you know, that's enough to catch somebody, you know, that they can fit their time, and particularly like if you're a lecturer somewhere, like I do at work, you know, you show them the little video, boom. Once they get a taste, you know, it's like, okay. They go out and find it for them. Next thing you know, they feel in the burn also.
One of the easiest things to do, you know, I keep some buttons on my purse. I also have a hat, and, you know, I have some that I'll put on when I go out. You will be amazed how people will come up and ask you. My father, he's in the hospital. When I go to the hospital, people see that button. They will ask me questions. And on your smartphone, feeltheburn.org, it has all of his positions broken down, and it's easy to find. You can basically, you know, somebody's concerned about this, you can show them, boom, this is his positions on this, this is on that, and try to tie them in. Listen to what people are concerned about and try to tie in his platform into the issues that are, you know, if it's education, you know, and for African Americans, it's usually education, employment, and police brutality and racial issues. Those are usually the big three that you're going to hear coming out of the black community. And so, you know, for those, and that's another thing. If I hear one more time about how come more black people aren't coming to the Bernie Sanders campaign, this is why. I love my Facebook friends. I love all the Facebook groups, and I think it's wonderful. But y'all have to understand, not everyone is on Facebook. Not everyone uses that platform. And I said this more than once over the weekend, the revolution will not be televised, nor will it be on social media. You'll just know about it. You have to take this to the black community. They are not going to come to you. So if you're passionate about it, if you're a white ally, find some black people who you know. There's a couple of groups on Facebook, Blacks for Bernie, People for Color, African Americans for Bernie Sanders. There's I believe there's more out there. But just say, hey, I'm willing to help canvas. And, you know, listen to, you know, and for black people out there, we got to start setting things up. You know, I'm going
right.
through a whole lot of things. Everybody's going through things. But we know our neighborhood's best. And
right.
so we've got to lead these people out there. Please don't approach black people and say, is it safe to go in this neighborhood? Because I will just look at you with my pretty resting bitch face and keep moving, you know. So please be kind of cognizant about what you're asking. 99.9% of the time, you'll be just fine. But and then for organizations, listen to what the black people are telling you. Just don't listen politely and go, okay, well, he, you know, he marched with MLK. You know, we
got it.
We really, really tried to tell y'all, and nobody's listening, and you're turning black people away.
Yeah,
and,
we don't
and,
like
and,
we don't.
Right, and you know, it's like, you know, so it's getting a little crazy out there, but, you know, just going out there, it's not, you don't have to organize the big thing. Every interaction you have in your day is an opportunity to talk to someone about Bernie. One of my best friends, she went to the grocery store, and people saw her Bernie stuff. She started talking. And people were like, well, you're not voting for Hillary? And she said, no. And she started explaining about Bernie. And they were like, oh, tell me more. And she had two people walk away like, I'm checking this guy out. You know, so once people know about him, they love him. But if you, you know, if people don't see him on the media and in the black community, if it's not on TV, and I'm talking free TV, not cable, if it's not on free TV or it's not on the radio, chances are they don't know about it. So all they hear is Hillary. And that is the mechanism that the Clinton campaign is depending on to kick in. But once they get it, once you get it to them, they get it and they love the guy. You know, so
right.
talk to them and do what
so
you can.
Talk
but
to them. We got to do this. This is part of the revolution. And see, what you always people got to remember in a revolution is that the revolution is not does not have control of the mainstream means of communication. You got to remember,
mm-hmm.
back even when he was at the American Revolution, that the British tried to shut down pro-rebel newspapers. A lot of those newspapers had to get printed underground. They had to be moved. Those leaflets had to be moved in secret. So we cannot wait for the mainstream media. The mainstream media is a part of the establishment. The establishment's job
mm-hmm.
is not to promote the revolution, because the revolution's goal is to overthrow the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to be able to do what we got to do, just like our forefathers done, just like Harriet Tubman had to. She just didn't walk out. She just didn't walk up north in convoy as a slave. No, the Underground Railroad. Okay, people had to go to safe houses, hide, move, shift. We got to keep the same thing in this revolution. We got to hide, move, shift, till we get large enough of a movement. And if anybody's ever seen operations and insurgency, this, that, and other, you hit run, till your operation gets big enough to confront the enemy on a main battlefield. And we're coming to that, people. It's called Iowa and New Hampshire. But until
mm-hmm.
then, we have to build our forces so that when we get to Iowa and New Hampshire, we crush Clinton like we know we're going to do. Then we got to make preparation in the South for the SEC primaries. Because if he doesn't, if Sanders cannot stop her in certain states in the South or give her major competition, because of the way the delegates are handed out down South, I promise you, there ain't going to be no splitting up about proportion. There's going to be winner take all. So he has to come down here and decimate her. That means we got to get on the move down South, because the revolution down South is going to be what takes him over the hump. You know, we know he's strong in California. We know he's strong in Oregon and Washington. We know we got the Northeast tapped in. But the Midwest and then the South, we got to do something about that. We got to hold it. We got to the coalitions that need to be broken up. So, but with that being said, because we might get, you know, you can't overdose.
Oh, Scout, sweetie. We you know, when we get ready to talk about voting rights, Doug Craig, I hope you
I'm finna send him a message. I'm sitting there, I just saw it. He just tagged me. And he know I'm coming. You know, Doug, I know you listen. Need to stop playing. You know you're a friend of us, so you know you need to call, but I'm finna send him a message. But
and you know, I mean, I'm reading this, and, you know, you wake up some days and you go, I'm going to have a good day and I won't have to kill anybody. And then this happens. So for those who can't see our Facebook pages, and we're talking about Voting Rights Act of 5, which was gutted by the Shelby decision by the Supreme Court, which weakened Section 5. Section 5 is the preclearance provision, which requires municipalities and states to go through a particular process and be approved through the Justice Department before changing it. That was removed, and as we see in Texas, Texas has come up with some crazy requirements that affect women in order for their ability to vote. Now, Mr. Doug Craig, who is he's chair of the Libertarian Party. Georgia Libertarian Party, and told us he was running for governor in
For anybody that does not realize this, Doug Craig first announced that he was running for governor of the state of Georgia on Down South and Dirty first. Nobody else can claim that. He announced it to us first.
And we appreciate that, but now he's, you know, so we saw the advances that were made by allowing people to vote. Craig has ballot access and voting rights mixed up because he has posted, and I quote, okay, no one will say it, so I will. Voting Rights Bill of 1965 is a joke, so most southern states have horrible ballot access. So, yep, your ability to vote is now protected, as long as it is from one of the two pre-selected candidates. Are you happy with the government controlling who you can vote for? Then telling you are free to vote. Wake up, folks. They have tricked you into thinking you have that freedom. Imagine if I told you the right to pick where you can eat. Them told them as long as freedom only extended to picking from McDonald's to Burger King.
I'm just going to
put it out there, and if nobody will say it, I will. I don't know what the hell that just meant. Okay,
Let's take this caller right here.
It's probably Doug.
No, it's not Doug. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you well.
We sure can.
This is Steve Carpenter from Portland, Maine. You might know me as John Carpenter, but that's my first name. You just became my Facebook friend.
That's
my future ex-husband, so everybody back off. Johnny's mine, okay? Just back off.
You guys sound really good, and you're making some very important points. Talking about voting rights and how, you know, the Democrats have no more loyal body of people than the black community. You guys vote Democrat 90% or something.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, in years gone by, the Republicans were thought of, you know, centuries gone by, I should say, or decades, because of Lincoln, and the solid South was all black. I mean, excuse me, all Democrat until the Voting Rights Act. And then they all showed their true colors.
They split. Mm-hmm.
They abandoned the Democratic Party because they didn't want to support equal rights.
Right.
And so now, you know, there's nobody more loyal than the black community to the Democrats. But
I wouldn't really call it loyalty. It's kind of lack of a better option. We're no better than the Latino community. And, you know,
yeah,
I mean, it's, you know, it's really a lack of a better option. I mean, we do have the Green Party. They've
very
got their own issues. Right. Well, they've got their own organizational issues.
And there is a sizable minority inside the African-American community that we don't like to talk about a lot, but they're called African-American conservatives, which that was, was a part of my dirty list that I had going that this week, was that one of our young African-American conservative brothers that a lot of people in America is familiar with, C.J. Pearson, who is from Georgia, he put videos up about President Obama, and he's become a sensation on the conservative side. He did a video this week, not dealing with voters' rights, but the video was about Ahmed Mohammed, the young man in Texas who built the clock.
Yep.
And he was and CJ was very, very scathing of the president for inviting this young man to the White House and all this stuff this young man is getting. And I'm looking at CJ and be like, yo, dude, really? You jumping on the president about this. All those stuff you get onto him about sometimes, I'm like, yeah, but this particular one, now, I've said it before to my African-American conservative brothers and sisters. I respect the fact that you're conservative because I believe that our community needs to have that type of conversation taking place so that we could find solutions to our community's problems. But to go pandering off to the conservative narrative of always bashing the president, saying crazy stuff, makes me lose respect sometimes. And CJ is way too smart of a young man to go play the crazy conservative role. Son, keep it real. I used to be in your shoes once upon a time. I was a 12-year-old conservative myself.
Bless
you know, I'm saying, you're going to evolve. Wait till you start driving and see how much you love, how much America, how fair America is once you start driving and you start driving outside the areas in which people know your face. You stop that first time and then come talk to them.
Well, here's the thing, though. But conservatives and voting rights, here's the thing. There should be no one in America on either side of the aisle who, if you're going to sit there with your chest down and talk about freedom and the flag and the red, white, and blue and we love America, yada, 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 there should be nobody. I don't care which side of the aisle is, which political ideology that you are. You should not be doing anything that would restrict access or keep anybody from voting. There's a constitutional principle called one person, one vote. And what
they don't, that's not where they are. Did you ever see that video of Paul Weyrich saying, how many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome? Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are
not
won by a majority. They never have been, and they are not now. You ever see that video?
I've
this is from the 1980 Republican.
What's the guy's what's the name?
Weyrich.
Paul Weyrich, one of the biggest direct mail Republican organizers. He says our chances in the election, quite frankly, goes up when the voting populace goes down.
Well, I mean that's the whole crux of the Southern strategy. I mean that is one of the key points of the Southern strategy and how the Republican Party has managed to gain power and retain it. It's more than just one thing. And we keep looking at strategies, you know, well, they did this. It was a combination. And actually, I have to respect their gangster on their part because they not only sat down and looked over, they took a long look at the lay of the land and they said, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to get it. This is how we're going to keep
smart.
It. And they executed flawlessly.
They're smart, but they're just shameless.
Well, right, they're shameless, but everybody is shameless on both sides because Democrats know this. They don't tell us that. You know, we're here telling you this because Democrats aren't telling you this and fighting back. Because
some of us are.
Some are. And I'm but that is a very few part, because we've got an issue here that went on
in Georgia.
Well, we had something that went on here. We had some little, you know, redistricting doesn't always happen during the census years. And we had some things go on in the legislature this year that are a little bit nasty. I voted for one representative, and now I got somebody I don't even know and expected to vote for somebody else. And
yeah.
Democrats, you know, it was kind of a protect and cover kind of thing, but I digress. But in terms of, you know, but what has gone on across the country has been a concerted effort to keep certain people from voting. And so, and to conflate that and say,
because they know they're
out,
a shrinking majority. They're a
right.
disappearing majority, so they have to cheat.
Right. Now, confusing the choice between whether or not you have, you know, we have two major parties who have seized control over the political process. I mean, yes, the Democrats and the Republicans are the two major parties, but that doesn't say
mm-hmm.
other parties don't exist. And if you're mad
or
because nobody else wants to come to
the
birthday
within
party,
the two parties.
Right. And for libertarians, I think Mr. Problem is that he wants more people to join the Libertarian Party, more black people to join the Libertarian
well,
Party.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment here. Since, you know, since I'm with me and Doug are close friends, and I've had this, and this is one of them discussions we've had running.
You need to talk to your friends.
But this is the thing.
Well,
I kind of understand where Doug's coming from. Now I understand where you're coming from.
Well, enlighten me. Enlighten me and the rest of the viewers, because I don't know what the hell he means.
Do you remember the movie The Demolition Man?
Yes.
And you remember how that in that movie that you only had one restaurant. I'm talking about the old Demolition Man, not the new one, not the remake. Talking about Sylvester Stallone.
Wesley Snipes. Uh-huh.
Right. The only restaurant you had in that group in time was Taco Bell. There was nothing else.
Right. Right.
And these people up there, they loved their lives, but their lives were so highly controlled. You couldn't curse. You couldn't do this. You had tickets for everything. And what I think what Doug is saying here is that even though we may increase the right of the people who can vote, that the true freedom is not yet there because they are not being allowed to vote for everybody. Just like for us in the Democratic Party. We call ourselves the Democrats, but we know the process right now that we're going through, and we don't see it for two election cycles now, is not very democratic.
Uh-huh.
They're choosing and trying to force down our throat one particular candidate where we may have wanted others. They won't even talk nor even act like these other people exist. What Doug, I think, is saying is that, yes, we need to increase the right of people to be able to vote, the people who are able to vote. But at the same time,
He said the Voting Rights Bill of 1965 was a joke. That's got nothing to do with the two parties. Bill has nothing to do with that. So let's not, you know,
But I think his thing was trying to get to the fact that we still, and you know, a lot of people in the third party, not just the Libertarians, but the Greens, and even some of the Democratic Socialists believe there ain't a whole bunch of daylight between the Republican and the Democratic Party. Now, I beg to differ on that because I am a member of the Democratic Party. However, you know, we have a lot of people who are in the third party realm, and we talked about this in one of our shows about how that operates. So I can see it, not completely agreeing with Doug, but like I said, I was just playing devil's advocate. So,
I can't agree or disagree because, again, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, because the Voting Rights Act has nothing to do with the existence of political parties.
Right.
The Voting Rights
Act came about
to allow people to vote. This was African Americans fighting for the right to have the right to vote at the ballot. It said nothing about voting Democratic or Republican. That's a whole nother conversation within that bubble.
Yeah,
say the Voting Rights Act of 1965 is a joke. You were sending come to your birthday party.
But at the same time, we can sit there we've seen this, and we know from reading history that it was one of those points of contention
that
mm-hmm.
we know
not buying
that giving,
it.
Us, giving us the right to vote, giving African Americans the right to vote, changed up how the parties operated. The parties have always been involved. We know that parties pass legislation and push legislation to keep their base where they want to. And this was it came at the right time in the right place after, but it was a very calculated decision to try to bolster the Democratic base. But even Johnson said when he signed the bill that he was going to lose the South for over a generation.
Yes, he did.
Right, but why did he say that? Why did he say that? Because he knew that white people had the right to vote. That black, right. Because this whole, the whole civil rights movement and the whole actions that happened in the 60s, Selma, everything was centered around the rights of African Americans to vote. It had nothing to do. Nobody said it was the rights for African Americans to vote Democratic or the rights of African Americans to vote Republican or Libertarian or Green or Justice or Constitution.
It was to
whatever
remove unfair restrictions. Like
right.
You,
we had
they
the
used
poll
to ask
tax.
Them.
We, yeah,
poll
we get
taxes
that. I get
and,
that. What I'm trying to do is get you to see inside of their head. Well,
no, because I did. I looked in there and it's a mess. I'm backing out.
Yeah.
I'm backing
it,
out.
It,
I, you know,
it, I mean,
it's a mess.
About
can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Who is this fellow that said it was a joke? That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. It was one of the high points of the century.
Oh,
the,
he might just need a hug, but it's on our Facebook page.
I can't understand
it. Libertarian part of Georgia. And it's actually one of the and the Libertarian candidate for governor of Georgia in 2018.
Oh, I get it. I get it. He's kind of like Rand Paul saying, "What are you going to do? Drag me out of my bed and make me do surgery on your eye?" It's just silly.
Well, you know, I'm just really tired of this. You know, this advanced state of fear and paranoia. Everything is the jackal. People
of
are coming in and dragging to take this by force.
Of course.
And we all know, and okay, if nobody will say it, I will. It's bullshit. Y'all got me
exactly.
cussing on a Sunday.
Exactly.
You know,
it's,
and y'all need,
it's
and
just
it needs to stop.
Scare
it really
tactics
needs
and
to
confusion.
Stop. Right. Right.
Well, there's nothing
going to
stop
so,
it except
know, and,
the groundswell.
Right. So,
tens
you
of
know,
millions
I'm,
of people.
It is very hard for me to take logically what is in basic and, in fact, highly illogical.
Well,
there
ain't
no. So,
there isn't
no.
It.
I
there
can't
isn't
understand
it. It's not meant
it.
To be logical.
I won't. I won't. And I wish he'd call in. If he's going to tag us on Facebook,
well,
call
I,
in.
I asked
so,
him
let
and
us know.
Where he's at right now, he's not able to get cell phone service.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, when he's ready, 657-383-0995. And just,
oh,
you know, even if you...
He got it. So, I
well,
mean, I want
like,
to...
So, totally call. Because I'm a bit heated about that.
You didn't hurt him. They should have called you out.
Well, you know, well, he called us out first. You know, I'm like Scarface. No. I ain't never screwed anybody over who didn't have it coming to him. So, you know, and I'm usually a nice person. But when you come at me one way... I'm going to come back at you the same way. And to say that the Voting Rights Act of 1965 is a joke, that says so much.
Yes.
That whether
he can
you need to talk
not,
to your friends.
But we can't, and I understand most people are not going to
be.
He's
got me in like ball messed up.
It's just silly. It's just laugh at it is all
it
I mean.
Is. It is. It's
hey,
really
let's
ridiculous.
Hey,
but,
let's see what the fuck caller is. We got to call him.
Hello, Scout. This is Doug Craig giving you a call.
Hey, Doug, a call me. What's up, Doug? Thank you for calling me out. You got to explain yourself, bro. Thank you for calling me
out. Well, he called us out. So, okay, let's just chop this up bit by bit. 1965 Voting Rights Act is a joke. Please explain.
Yes. Well, so what happens is that all of a sudden the government now tells you they're going to protect your ability to vote. So the Democrats basically are ensuring that you'll be able to vote for Democrats. And
no,
later
no, no,
on, maybe
no.
ensure
that's
that.
Not, you don't get to do that here. That says, well, the Voting Rights Act says that we were able to vote not for Democrats. The only reason that blacks voted for Democrats is because the Republicans didn't offer anything. That was not codified in a piece of legislation. Let's keep it actual and factual, Doug. Now, please.
No,
continue.
You're actually right, and they didn't. So what they do is, on the other side, while you're watching the cards on this hand, they're hiding
they
the cards on the other hand.
They codified
God.
That it would be safe to vote for Democrats. No, you're coming up here, and you're spouting complete nonsense, Doug. And then you're going to post it on the Facebook page and call us out. So, yeah, defend it. But you need to come
all right,
back.
So I will.
Because
so I'm going to defend it. So what's happened is.
You're not defending
you know,
it. You're interjecting the act because there was nothing about the act.
Give him enough rope and he'll hang himself.
No, that's all right. So here's what's going on.
Go ahead, Dan.
So
move it on. Go ahead.
So here's what's going on. They made sure you could go vote by this bill. But then what happens is while you're not paying attention over here, they pass these rules to make sure they're the only ones who can be on the ballot, the Republicans and Democrats. So you think you have the ability to go vote for have the freedom to vote? Yes, as long as you pick from the pre-selected candidates. So, yes, over here the 1965 Bill of Rights is promising you this and that. But over here, without violating the 1965 rights, they make sure they limit who you can pick. So all
okay,
this
well,
time
then,
you're
there's
excited.
There's more that has to be done. There's more that has
oh,
to be
look,
done, but you can't say it wasn't progress.
Well,
right.
So what
and
happens is you think you have progress, right, as long as you continue to pre-select from what they pick. So in a
well,
sense,
you have to
what
move
are we really
from step to step,
no, we
from
got
precept
two things
to precept.
Going on. You got two things going on, Doug, because the Voting Rights Act was about protecting minority voters at the polls. People were being lynched. People were being threatened and intimidated. They didn't have an opportunity to vote for nobody. They didn't want us voting for even the two candidates who were available out of the two parties. They didn't want us to vote
look,
at all.
You have.
Okay.
I'm one of the few
so
people who will tell you that there is no argument here. The government
no,
was
but,
making
but
sure.
Said,
the government was making sure that folks cannot vote. So what they do is they trick you.
The government.
What they do is they pass this.
Wait,
yes,
wait,
they
the
trick you.
The government was making sure we weren't. Oh, we've been hoodwinked.
Yes.
And
if you look,
okay.
If you look in Alabama, the man who was standing in front of the school was not Joe Private Citizen. It was not the CEO of Nabisco. It was the governor of Alabama that stood in front of that door who would not let people go in there and get educated with everybody else. The water
well,
hoses and the German Shepherds.
Right? That's the solution.
No,
so
I want less
government.
I want significantly. I want significantly less government. But you
yeah,
look
well,
at the water hoses. Who are they
the
on by?
The
city of. They were the right. They locked the doors. The government locked the doors. The water hose and the German Shepherds, city of Birmingham. The bus that you had to ride in the back was not a private bus, was a city bus, was a county bus. So what you've done is the people who the whole time have been slapping you around and dogging you now are promising you that they're going to correct it. You trusted the same people that water hosed you down and sick German Shepherds on you to solve the problem. Do you think that's
no,
who should solve
the
problem?
The VRA was Wait, the VRA was federal legislation.
Whether it's federal slap down or a state slap down, they're all the same. At the end of the
well,
day, you
well, I can't roll with you on that. So you're saying
I
that
and
the
I
workers,
understand why you would.
No, I don't think you do. I really don't think you do because you just keep coming back. You have a certain, it's like a switch with you where everything is a jackbooted, everything that the government is a jackbooted entity coming to take your stuff, and that people who ask for things are nothing but begging for stuff that you have. And even the right to vote, you're sitting here and trying to tell me that the right to vote, expanding democracy to everyone, in light of the Constitution that says all the things, you know, keep in mind, though, that Constitution that you love, did not include me, and it really did not include
Stacey,
me as
you,
a
you
black
might, you
woman.
You might want to read. You, hey, you may want to ask out about my post. I had a post
no,
just
no,
last
no,
week
no.
On, no, that I am
Stacey
not a constitutionalist. I am not a constitutionalist. I have no love for the Constitution. I had a post last week that said, "How can you love a Constitution that considers another human 3/5? How can you love a Constitution that says one man can love another man? How can you love a Constitution that says a woman can't vote?"
Can I interject something, please?
So why are you trying
yes,
to vote for governor then?
Do you mind if I interject?
I believe in natural. I believe.
I'm mediating. Time out. John Carpenter wants to jump in right quick. Let John talk for a second.
Okay.
The Constitution includes something that you have neglected to mention, the ability to be amended. And it was amended. to correct.
Natural rights cannot be amended. The ability to be a human or not a human or be owned or not owned cannot be amended. That's why I have the dislike the Constitution. You're naturally born free. And then it takes another man, usually through the state coercion, to make you unfree. You are born
not
free.
True. Not
and then
true.
What happens is the people who have
it's
taken our freedom in the past
power.
Are the people that have taken our freedom in the past are the ones who now we're hoping to save our ability to vote. It is understand these are the folks who have slaved people. Now we're asking them to protect us and allow
no,
us to vote.
You're
for
wrong.
The pre-selected
you're
two
wrong.
People. No,
it was the
no.
people with money.
No.
It's the people with money.
I mean, you are talking about two different things, Doug. You are really, really being screwed up.
It appears that we are talking about. It appears we are talking.
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
He's a shell game artist.
Yes, ma'am.
If you were to win public office, right, aren't you required
yes,
to
ma'am.
Swear to the Constitution?
I would not swear to the Constitution.
Okay.
Well, you can't take office.
All right. So why,
then I wouldn't.
So why?
Then they would. Then they wouldn't let me in office. I will not promise to protect the Constitution because I do not. I do not believe the Constitution protects individual rights.
And if you do not believe in government, why would you want to be governor of Georgia, which is governor?
I do not believe in forced government. I believe in voluntarism. I believe that if we should be able to go out here and work together.
Woo-hoo.
So
I don't.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't really understand what that means, but okay, because that sounds like you're parsing and picking and choosing.
Snake oil.
So it's bad.
Oh, well, no, that's fine. No, I understand.
But
look, here, at the end of the day, it is the state that went down and would hunt out slaves that escaped. Okay, that was who would go hunt the slaves down was the state. The person who
was
making sure you could vote. No, the state, but no, the owner would have the state do it for him. The
yeah,
state
but he
was the,
but he
was
controlled
the main
it
man.
By virtue of his wealth.
So you don't think people
right.
are
so
being
if they
down
if they
now?
Ran if
the
slaves ran if the slaves ran to my farm and I armed them, the state would shoot me. If a slave
only
showed up in my
they
at
served,
my house,
they served the owner because of his wealth.
No, the state made sure that these laws were enforced. The state owns the biggest, baddest
the
guns. They're the
us.
Ones who made
the
sure that the slaves stayed
us.
In place.
The state is us, if we will govern. If we refuse to govern, then the wealthy will take over and do
well,
it for
I will,
us.
I will tell you right now, I'm not the state, because I am not one who will ever own slaves. I'm not a man who will ever call another person three-fifths. When I look at you, I look as an individual. I do not look at you as part of a social contract that the government has forced upon us.
You might as well swear never to make a sensible sentence either.
Well, I'm not interested.
Topic,
I'll be honest with you guys. I am not interested in winning the governorship. I'm interested in opening up people's eyes that the government's not what you think it is. It could be something better
oh,
going forward.
You're an agent of confusion.
We have people who know that.
Well, what do
we
call confusion? When you own another man, how can you get any more confused than that?
Confusion
slavery
is when
is the
you
most
jump topics.
Slavery
you
is the
a,
most intense thing.
And you jump to another topic.
Right,
no.
Voting rights has nothing to
no,
do with
not
it.
That.
Your
absolutely.
Whole thing, everything
look.
You talk, everything comes back to this one thing, and it's
you're
really
a,
not relevant when it comes to voting
operator.
Rights.
The
it's
government
really
is not the
relevant.
Answer.
Well,
the government is not the
well,
answer,
it,
but we
it,
think
it,
they
I
are. And
it,
here's,
yes,
here's the deal: how do we go and ask?
You're a double talker.
No, no, it is not the answer. It is not double talk.
So you're saying
look,
that
fine.
The Voting Rights Act
if
did not
you,
provide a remedy for black people and minorities to have access to the vote. You're saying
no.
that the Voting Rights Act is that, yes, you are. You're saying
I'm
government
saying the Voting
Rights
Act, but the Voting Rights Act is a joke in a sense of it does not protect your right to vote. It only allows you to pre-pick out of the selective pot. So if I tell
right.
you can eat anywhere,
no,
you can
no,
eat
no.
anywhere
that's
you want.
A failure. That is the failure of the political parties. But we have a right to vote where we didn't have one. We used to have to pay poll taxes. We were intimidated. We were beaten.
Yes.
We were threatened.
And all that was enforced by the state. All that was protected by the state.
And
the
state the federal government created legislation that forbid that. And it gave us protection so that we could go to the ballot to vote for someone. Now, the failure of choices are with the political parties. You got the right
They are not with a political party.
You're never
going
to get him
power
to admit that he's a shyster.
The political party
oh,
has
I'm
nothing
a
to do with the government. They're two separate
hey, I'm a real big shyster. I pay for my kids to go to school on my own. I don't ask for anybody's help. I pay mucho
and
taxes.
You spew all these
and, but
all
you're
these
not
lies.
Alone, Doug. You're not alone.
And you try to
you
confuse
like
people.
You're the only one. You act like you're the
you
only
no
one
lies.
Who does that.
And by the way, just to make sure, I am not a conservative. I am not a conservative. I am a libertarian.
It doesn't matter what you are. It's what you say
I
that
counts.
I thought
you were a human.
Absolutely. And look, here's the deal. If you want to cuddle up to the same people who allow people to own you, that's your choice. That's fine. I'm just telling you, the person that you're begging and asking for permission to help you out now are the same people that beat your ancestors down. And if you're cool
who
with that, then so
begging?
Be it.
Who are we
you're always, please educate my child. Please take care of my roads. Please make sure I'm safe. Please make sure I'm fed. Please make sure my rent's paid. Please make
hold
sure
up.
I get medical care.
Hold
those are
up,
all things you're asking
hold
for the same
partner.
Person that beat
don't
you
I
in the
pay
past.
What? Don't I pay yeah. for it? I put in the kitty just as much as you do. I may not put as much as you do, but my money's in that kitty too. And my child has the right to have an education.
In the state of Georgia, the Constitution, in the state of Georgia.
Give me my portion of the wars back. My part of the road, I want somebody to roll it up and put it in my front yard. You can't drive on my portion of the road anymore. My portion of the airport, give it back to me. Everything that I have, because you, this is the problem, Doug. You feel that you and the rest of the libertarians, and I'm going to call it out here, you and the rest of the good white people think that you have paid everything and everyone is coming to pay something and that you are the only one putting in and everyone is moving. I said this at the beginning of the call. And
you have to read my stuff. First of all, I don't consider myself part of the white people. You can segregate me if you like. If you want to put me in a class of white
you're
people, you can.
Yourself.
I'm not. You did
yes,
that.
You
I'm not
are.
Calling me a white person. No, no, ma'am. You're
oh,
the one who segregated me into
a white
person.
Person. If I see
no,
a red
I am an individual.
I
am an individual.
Is it a red cup?
I am individual. And I do not group with
race?
White people.
What
I group
are
with
you?
Liberty.
Are you
key?
Am I going to say anything else today?
I am a liberty person.
You're right.
Okay. I'm jumping back in again because I hit John in the background.
I would love to say three things in a row without being run over. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Okay. Now check this out.
I just thought it was our show.
He said that you were going to cuddle up to the people that were your owners, but he didn't pay any attention to the fact that the people from New England that set you free weren't your owners. See, he's ducking that. That's a dirty pool.
What's your question?
You said that they were going to cuddle up to their former slave owners.
You never
considered the fact that they were cuddling up, if you want to use that term, to the people that set them free, the people from New England.
No, look. You can cuddle up to both. You can cuddle up to more than one person. But the fact is,
you're gonna fudge and try to backpedal here, but you're not gonna get away with it.
I don't backpedal.
I got you
I'm
dead
just telling
to right.
you how it is. No,
I got
you
dead to right.
Nobody dead to right. Look, you have no one dead to right. If you want to cuddle your past slave masters, that's fine. You have
they're
that
not.
Ability.
They're not.
If you think,
they're not. They're
if
not.
You
they're
think
not. You know damn
the
well
federal
not.
Government.
You're
the
lying.
Federal government
you know,
was at
you know
one.
You're lying.
The federal
no,
government at one point involved. No, I'm not.
I have no gain.
Look, I'm already a millionaire. I don't need to make anybody else happy. I'm not here playing this game for money. I'm already rich.
No, you're
I already do well. My kids are already in the best schools. I'm already in a big house. I already drive a nice car. Look, I don't need anything.
I never
anybody.
Suggested that was your motive. So don't accuse me of suggesting that.
Well, I'm just telling you, I don't need it. I'd rather go here and let people open their eyes.
Well, I don't need to listen to this crap either. So, folks, I enjoyed talking to you before he came on, but I'll email you. I'll post some of that stuff that I was talking about earlier. But I can't listen to this. This is just garbage. We'll see you later.
Matt. Take care. So yeah. So basically, Doug, you got yours, right? And everybody, and screw everybody else, and because everybody else who doesn't have theirs is trying to take yours, right?
Nope, not at all. See, you don't understand liberty. Because if it was that way, wouldn't I screw my
context,
let me explain.
Hell no, I don't. And I hope I never do.
Let me tell you. So what my shop's in East Point, not because my shop is in the same city. My shop is in the same city you live in. Why is
no,
it there?
No, I live in Hayville. Are you in Hayville?
Okay,
I'm in Hayville. You're in East Point.
I'm in East Point. So I'm right across the street from you in East Point. Why is my shop there? Not because it's the best place to do business. It's not. Not because it's the cheapest place to do business. Because I want to help the place where I grew up. And you know what? That place doesn't look like me anymore. That place is African-American and Hispanic. And when you walk into my shop, the guys that are making $40,000 and $50,000 a year are not white kids from Hayville and East Point. They're black and Hispanics from Hayville and East Point.
So, well,
yes,
want
I wanted
to
really. No,
so
but you're telling me I'm out here.
That?
You're telling me I'm out here squeezing everybody for the dime, and I'm telling you, here's the evidence that I'm not.
I did not say that. What I said was that you presume that you're the only one paying into the system.
No,
that
no, not
else,
at all.
No,
no,
you know, no, Doug. You just said my kids go to this school, and I'm not, and
yep.
I'm not asking for free school for my kid, and I'm not asking free this for that. So. You're saying to me that because my child or my children go to public schools, as a matter of fact, I'm a product of public school education. So you're saying that I was not deserving of that because we didn't pay for it, and that you somehow have gotten a superior, and that the education that's provided to my child is taken from something that you solely paid into. Well, please,
expound and
enlighten me.
It sounds you're making a lot of assumptions. What I'm saying is,
no,
you should be able to choose your kids.
You, I'm not making any assumptions. I'm repeating back what you said. But when
no,
it, but
what I
when
said
you
was,
hear it come back,
that
you don't
you,
like the way
your
you
kids,
hear it. And then you
your
come
kids
back
are some of the worst schools.
For you to come with the whole
your children are going to some of the worst schools in America. All right, they're
how
some
do
of
you
the
know?
Worst in America.
How do you know?
Because I live right there. Because
you
I live there. I live in Hayville. I grew up in Hayville. I grew up in East Point.
How many kids graduated from Tri-Cities High School?
Well, I went to Tri-City in 1982.
No,
I remember how bad it was.
This last class, how many graduated in there? How many?
There was
how many?
Like 64% of the kids graduated from Tri-Cities that originally started. The SAT
okay.
is significantly below 1,000 points there. It is one of the lower SAT averages in Fulton County.
And that's like
but
saying
look,
considering Georgia is down across the board. The whole nation
yes, it is.
Scores are down across the board. So to
but here's the deal. I want your children to go to a better school. I want your children
well,
to be up there competing.
How are we going to do that if you're telling me that my child is in the worst school and that you send your – and one of the reasons our schools are not doing as well is because people like you choose to not put your child in there and not put anything into these public schools. You walk
I
away,
put
you
a ton. Let me tell you another
it's
secret.
Like what?
When Tri-Cities calls my shop and asks for donations, you know what they ask for? We want more football money. I said, I tell you what, I'll give you money for your math team and science team. Crickets, chirp, 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 nothing. Nobody ever calls me back. I said, I will sponsor your math team. You know what? As long as the African-American boy can throw the football, that's cool. We want to send him to calculus? Oh, no, no. So when Tri-Cities realizes that needs to be the priority, they will do better. But until then, you'll continue to graduate
to you,
people who can throw footballs but can't pass calculus.
What about Doug?
He made a
point. What about Doug? What if I told you, Doug, that if what Tri-Cities really needs, we don't need your money. What we need for you is to come in and mentor some of these young kids. What we need for you is to build relationships with them. What we need for you is to talk to them. You can keep your money, and if you want to,
That's why Doug Craig has an internship program with Northside High School. That's why we've interned kids and teach them how to do job
offers. Where's Northside High School? Where's Northside
because you know
school?
Why? Because they had
Where's
a teacher
Northside
there that
school,
cared.
Where's Northside
they
High
cared.
School,
so the lady, when we
Where's
reached
Northside
out, they reached
High
back
school,
out
Doug?
To us.
Did you reach out? Did you reach out? You offered money. You didn't offer your time to try. Where is Northside High School, Doug?
It's in Atlanta. It's over there off Howell Mill, over in that area.
Right.
Okay,
how
so
many,
you
what is the
ratio of
competition
of Northside
High School?
We would have been, offered to help Tri-City.
Tri-City is a Harper, Archer, Washington.
Okay, again, Tri-City called.
Washington.
Tri-City called, and I told them I would donate money.
Why didn't you call them?
Why do I know how to do the work? Is it not enough that I employ 15 local kids? Is it not enough that I pay $10,000 a month in taxes? Is it not enough that I help Northside? Is it not enough that I pay for my own kids' education, don't put a burden on the school system? What else do I got to do? Do I got to carry my weight and your weight? Is that what you're asking?
No, I didn't ask you to do any of that.
You did. You just asked me. No, you just did. Hey, guys, I will tell you, I love this, but I'm sitting here at the Buggy Days in Barnesville, and I've got to get a Bloomin' Onion because the kids are hungry. And I love talking to you guys, and I will give you guys a call back next week. And, look, this is great debate, and I appreciate it.
We got an equality series coming up, and, yes, we want you in here when we talk about equality.
I appreciate it, guys. Look, at the end of the day, Miss Stacy, if you're calling me and I'm sitting in my shop, or if I'm sitting at home and you call me and you say, Doug, I need help, I will help you.
You know what, Doug, and I'm going to tell you with all honesty, you would probably be one of the last people I would call.
And probably the one with the most resources to be able to do it. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I love you guys.
I'm just being honest.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all.
You take
care.
All right. Scout, you and your people.
Hey, I tell it all kinds. I mean, but you made a great point there. But he kind of, when he said that, I can't hold on. When he said, when the words came out of his mouth, we do an internship. I was waiting for him to say Tri-City. And he said that, I was
Northside.
Oh, my God.
And Northside, for those who are not familiar, and in Atlanta, you have the South Side, which is usually majority Black and minority, people of color, and the North Side, which are majority white. Northside High School is a majority white school. He has to drive quite a bit to go to Northside instead of his community school, which is Tri-Cities High School, which I am proud to say I have two graduates. Both of them are college bound or been in college. I am the product of public school. I have a daughter who's working on a master's. Right. So, you know, people say it like it's a bad thing or like they're standing downwind of a bad smell. But we kind of digress on the whole thing of voting rights. And I think your boy is just terribly, terribly confused.
I'm going to make a drink on a Sunday. Yeah, I mean, it's for real though. I was trying to save him, but, you know, because I understood when he was talking. Mm-hmm. But he went down, and I mean, it was like, So, mm-hmm. We'll get that. Doug has been on the show several times. He's been on the show before Stacy came on. Matter of fact, he was the very first guest on Down South and Dirty, our very first show, and we talked about this vote. Because Doug is very, very passionate about ballot access, and I don't have no problem with ballot access.
I don't
have a
problem with that either.
But then I understand voting rights are two different things.
He's conflating the two, and they are.
Right.
You know, one of these things is not like
a lot of the times. We have that problem with issues where particularly it comes up, like, for instance, gun rights, gun control. We have that same thing get convoluted with several different things. But let's get back to voting rights in the beginning. And see, this is why voting rights, as he talked about it, was the equalizer. Because, see, if libertarian voters was to use their right to vote and play in the libertarian in the libertarian for as many people that are self identifying as libertarian that vote in Republican primaries. If they were to stop doing that and work on getting the over the threshold on the ballot, you know, because we understand there's all these different petitions here in Georgia you got to get done. But if they were to start voting for their candidates would break the threshold in which they would no longer have to do that. Because there is a trip switch. Because you never have to take him. The Libertarian governor, the candidate for Libertarian in the state of Georgia for governor, never has to go through that because there's enough, they've hit that trigger switch that allows them to be on the ballot.
But
so they need to work on all the other races.
But, you know, I mean, it's really, really frustrating, right? And, you know, earlier we talked about Bernie and him going to Liberty and having a great conversation and bipartisanship. But one of the things I used to do in another life is I was a member of the Coffee Party. And that was big on bipartisanship. That is the difference between civil dialogue and there's a difference between bullshit. Okay? Now, you cannot have a logical conversation. You cannot find common ground if bullshit is at the heart of it. And so, you know, and a lot of...
There's going to be in the common ground on that.
Right. And there's a lot of conversations... But there's a lot of issues where, you know, like gun rights and you know, like the discussion, if that's what you want to call it, we had, you know, where it's based on that. And people go, but we need to come together. No. Sometimes you just got to defend your position and call
them
out
on it. And that's the thing that we have to do sometimes. And we have to stand, and I'm proud that you stood your ground on that and your end. You didn't give any inch of ground on that. I mean, he didn't give any inch of ground either. And that, but that, at the end of the day, people had a better understanding.
I think I broke out on the air.
I think what we did do was that we did show that there is a contrast in the belief systems of what a Libertarian Party stands for. Now, you know, they're trying to do a great PR job of trying to make themselves, but you hit it on the head. A lot of times, and I have no problem with what they say they believe in, but when it comes down to how they explain it, that's when we get lost. And a lot of people, I'm explaining this to y'all. How you break something down to somebody is where they're going to accept it or not. If you come and tell me, because a lot of the bills here in Georgia have really great names, then you go reading the legislation and you find out it has nothing to do with the name that it has. Like, you know,
oh, they do it on the federal level
district. Georgia with the opportunity school district, which that's going to be a referendum. We're talking about voting rights. So we can get back onto this, but we have these wonderful names for stuff that when you read it, it's not an opportunity for the school districts. It's an opportunity for the governor. You know what I'm saying? So we have to, if we're going to increase our voting rights, one of the things that we need to look at is, if we're going to use it as an equalizer, is being educated on what the different, you know, what you're voting on. I will play devil's advocate for a second. Let's say we go into the mindset that Doug Craig just played for us, and we got a pre-selection of what we do. Even if that is the case, educate yourself on which evil you're choosing. Understand, because, like, for instance, we got a lot of people going to use their voting rights to vote for this idiot named Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to take their rights away. And see, this is exactly why you had people against the Voting Rights Act to begin with, because they claim that there are low-information voters out there, which we know that exists. It exists on the Democratic side and it exists on the Republican side. But guess what? There's
no
right to be put information. It is our job as activists, political operatives, political parties, candidates, to educate the people on the issues and stop feeding them bullshit. If we feed people bullshit, that's what they got. They regurgitate bullshit. So if you're a candidate and you're out there talking about low-information voters, if you're a member of a party and you talk about low-information voters, then stop giving out bullshit information.
Mm-hmm.
Educate your voters so they know exactly what's going on and stick it to the issues, you know, because this is exactly what the Voting Rights Act is about. It's about people who are trying to exclude people from voting who may not agree with what they're trying to pass. You don't see Democrats talking about, let's cut back voting rights. We want everybody to vote. We really, to tell the truth, hell, it doesn't matter to us. We either win or we lose. We think we have better ideas. So we want a referendum on it. The Republicans know their ideas suck.
Right.
So therefore,
and
they want to get as many people not to vote, because I watched a little video. I started watching the video while y'all was going back and forth that John Carpenter brought up, and I actually posted the video. It's on Darren Fox and Dota Radio Facebook page right now. And this, and the guy made some points there, you know, that, you know, the majority does not vote here in this country today. We all know the numbers, that 10% of our population picks our Congress.
Right, because if you don't use your right to vote, you amplify the power of those who do vote. So
we amplifying that. Yeah, you're right.
So if you have a small, organized, determined band of people who are going to go, and this is what we've seen happen. And we see this and it particularly works well with the at-large voting system. I guess I'll have to explain that later, or if we have time. But anyway, if you have, you know, usually the elections are won by 50 plus one. That's usually how they're won. But, you know, even with the election of Ronald Reagan and I believe Gil Scott-Heron in his, he did an excellent piece called B-Movie. You guys got to hear it. I mean, when I first heard it years ago, and he said, mandate my ass, I was in love. But and Gil breaks it down. You know, when you listen to elections, you're hearing percentages of registered voters. So when you hear something like 40% of registered voters came out, that's not even the whole sum of the population. So there are problems, and there are subsets to this issue that are related, but
right.
You know, in terms of the Voting Rights Act, that is the initial protection, and it came. I mean,
things,
that is, but they kicked the formula
the
back to Congress to fix.
Well, one of the
and
things
that's
I would love, as we talking about an expansion of voting rights, and there are people working here in Georgia. They've already done it in Oregon. Is universal registration. I mean, if voting is a right in America, and a lot of people don't realize that there are amendments to the Constitution that deal with voting, but there's not actually anything that guarantees the right to vote to Americans. They can take it back and forth however they want to. They can add restrictions, take away restrictions, expand it, but it's not anywhere that actually guarantees the right to vote to Americans. It guarantees, there's a guarantee in the Constitution to allow women to vote. It don't say which women can vote. There's a guarantee for the African Americans can vote. But as we see, we had to have another whole law in there, because guess what? They found ways to keep us from voting. Poll tax,
right.
Literacy tests, this, that, and the other. So we know a constitutional amendment needs to be made that guarantees all American citizens the right to vote. And I was one of the things I wanted to talk about, and we got only like 10 minutes left in the show, because, you know, that was a lively debate and it was good. And it really wasn't a debate. It was a, you know, y'all was taking volleys at each other with artillery. But, I mean, one of the things that was impressive to me early in the year, that it wasn't even America, it was Scotland. You remember the Scottish referendum for independence early in the year?
Mm-hmm.
That they gave the franchise to vote to their 16-year-olds. Because that
right,
issue was that important
the question was so important to the future of their nation that they thought, okay, this group is old enough to drive, they're old enough to do this, that, and the other. They need to have a say. I mean, so when we talk about expanding voting rights, you know, we need to make sure that every person in this America, wide in America, we have rights that we have to register for.
But wait a minute,
now
before we expand,
rights,
we can't expand them if we can't even keep what we have, Scout.
Right.
I mean, right now
right.
we've got to build
cities. So we need to go back. It needs to be a comprehensive effort, though, to gain, regain what we what was taken from us, and then just don't be okay. We just cannot be okay with the restoration of what we had. We need to restore and move forward. Move, because see, guess what? We got when you've been attacked and you retake the territory, the next thing you need to do is you need to push out your perimeter so it ain't that easy for them to take that again. So we need to push it out further next time. I mean, pre-clearance is a definite because we seen when they defeated Section 5, we seen immediately. Now, if that was the reasoning
we
that
saw
the Supreme Court gave,
popcorn eating stuff.
Right. When you seen the opinion of the Supreme Court when they overturned Section 5, was that it was no longer needed because we had,
and they
we,
came
we
up
needed.
With some doozies. I mean, Texas came up.
It didn't even take these cats a year. It didn't take them a year to go back and start putting craziness back out there. So that tells me right now, and it told most Americans, that nothing had changed. These people have and this is what we have to look at all the time when we're going through these different people and say, well, all lives matter. That is bullshit. Why? Because there are people, the same people who went to immediately reverse voting rights, given the chance, will put black people back in slavery. The same people who will do that will be the same people who will take and put children back in the factories if there was no labor law. They don't give a damn about nobody but themselves and what they can get from other human beings through exploitation. So,
well,
we have to sit there and push out further because voting, like we said, voting rights is the equalizer. Because if we can't vote, then the only other thing we got left is to shoot. And nobody don't want to do that. And, you know, we didn't get a really good chance, and I want to take the last little bit here because we didn't get a chance to do our dirty list like we wanted to. And that was an important thing that we've been talking about. And I
Go ahead and do yours because I can put mine up online.
I talked about CJ, but my next one was Devin. So we're talking about voting rights and all the different stuff that goes on. Devin Wasserman Schultz, because see, this may not necessarily be a voting issue, but it's a respect to the base issue. When you are the chairman of a political party and your political party is telling you that we want something and you tell us no, we can't have it, then that lets us know some kind of which way you're not worried about the voting that's going to take place that could put you out because there's no voice. You're not even worried about our voices. You feel like I'm good. You feel like you could tell us fuck you. And that's what I feel like is going on. And I'm a proud Democrat. I'm a loyal Democrat, but I'm not going to continue to take my leaders telling me fuck you. You either do what we ask you to do, or we're going to start looking for methods to start replacing people. And it will get ugly. It will get really ugly. Because then most of my progressive brothers and sisters know you cannot take no negative press. Because we just seen a story in which Debbie Wasserman Schultz is prepared. Well, this is what made us catch my dirty list. Because a major donor in the state of Florida said something nasty about her and in support. Her lack of support for a bill that this guy was putting out. And so she goes back in the back channel and is trying to negotiate with the guy. I'll support what you want me to support if you stop talking bad about me. Help us stand your ground or don't. You should have been doing what I asked you to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't. You're constantly going against the progressive movement. Are you really a Democrat? Are you a Dixiecrat? And if you are, move on. Are you something else that we don't yet understand exists? You need to form your own party because you're going against things that 70% of Democrats say they want. We want the more debate. or we want a loosening of the restrictions on the candidates. We can't get that. I'm not understanding the Democratic leadership right now. Because people are
you don't understand. I do. I understand it. I do. Now, that I can explain to you. I understand it completely. For us, this is about, we're actually talking about the principles and in keeping with the platform. This whole election for the Democratic Party in Georgia, this is about money and power. It don't mean nothing about you.
Nothing about
it doesn't else. Mean anything about the issues. If the issues will bribe that agenda for them to reach money and power, for people who are with the Bernie Sanders campaign and who are kicking up such nonsense, and I got to give a mad shout out to everybody who has been keeping their keeping it up over the debates and some of the other issues that have come up with Debbie's leadership. This is about just simply wanting y'all to do the right thing. That's all we're asking. We're asking you to stand up for what your name says for. And we're calling you out on this shit. And what are we getting from y'all? Let them eat cake. And here's the thing. You may get a temporary win, but at the end of the day, you're going to kill your party. You have to adapt or you're going to die.
And we're
going to
have a Bastille moment. And we're going to have a Bastille moment. And it's not going to be, and that's why I say it's not going to be pretty. And I got one more thing on my dirty list, and this is really local. You know that was a shootout over here in DeKalb County the other day.
Yeah.
And some young men who have been accused of gun running. Now, I applaud the DeKalb County Police on the fact that nobody died. You know what I'm saying? Nobody died. But this is my question. This is how this makes my dirty list. But this is how this makes my dirty list. And I've said this, and people who know me have heard me say this, because we have all these unarmed people who seem to get killed by the police when they're threatened, because they're threatened. But when it just happens to be when the police are actually getting shot at, they have the ultimate, and they have the reason to drop a joker. It don't never damn happen. You can shoot an unarmed man, shoot a joker who's beating down on you. You be beating down on you. And y'all can't never seem to hit him. What's the point? I've always said that, you know, it's kind of, you feel that, you know, they get mad at folks and they take it out on people because they be taking out their anger in very unhealthy ways. But when you have to get shot, you're scared.
But I could have threw a bullet at them and hit them better than them.
Right, that because them young men, you got hit, and they didn't get hit. That was a whole other, both of them young men went and got arrested unscathed, but you got hit.
Yeah.
We're going to be retraining our police. One, they need to learn not to shoot people who ain't got guns and shoot the people who do. If a joker pulls his gun and actively shooting you, I'm expecting for you to put his ass down while y'all talking all this bravado about Black Lives Matter threatening y'all and this, that, and other. This wasn't even Black Lives Matter. These were two damn gun runners, two freaking criminals. They were trying to put more guns on our streets illegally.
Well, clearly
we
they had
more guns than they had a dime. We wouldn't have gave a damn. Yeah. But I digress on that. I just need y'all to get y'all firearms training, because them guys could have got away. But see, the guy who was trying to sell some cigarettes or got pulled over because he ain't got a license plate on the front of his car, or the kid walking in the middle of the street, he can die. And he ain't did nothing serious. But these cats, I congratulate y'all because y'all caught them, and they will stand trial. They most likely going to plead. We got to go through it. But, doggy, come on now. I don't need no more excuses. Or I felt threatened when you killed an unarmed man because you unarmed one and you couldn't damn kill him.
Yeah. That was sorry. So, let's see, what do we have on the clock left? Oh,
like
we got 1 minute left? Who was on my dirty list? I'm multitasking, y'all. I'm moving, I'm washing clothes, I'm running up and down the stairs,
I'm hollering at people on the phone. So let's see, who is on my dirty list? Who's on my
got
dirty
2 seconds.
Okay, well, forget it. I'll just throw it up online and y'all can see it. But the state of Georgia, the Gwinnett Sheriff. The Gwinnett Sheriff. But we can chop that up online. Maybe Dirk will say, hey.
We'll be talking about quality series next week, so starting it. Got some interesting guests getting lined up. I'll talk to you about that later. And this is Down, South, and Dirty. See y'all next Sunday.